This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. This is Dan Patrick.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go on this Monday. We'll have best and worst of the weekend, what we saw that we liked, we didn't like. And you can be part of the program a variety of ways. You can dial us up, email, tweet, all the above. Say good morning to the folks who are watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner. You can download the app. Also, radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and nearly 400 cities around America that carry this program. Our stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. A little bit later on, Ross Tucker, our good buddy, he was on the call, Chiefs and the Chargers last night, took the red eye so he could join us. Coming up next hour, Joel Klatt, the great college football analyst for Fox Sports, will join us as well. 49ers, Cardinals, that's coming up tonight in Mexico City. And you start to wonder, these are two teams headed in opposite directions there. 49ers only a game ahead of the Cardinals, and the Cardinals with Colt McCoy versus Jimmy Garoppolo. All he does is win. This program brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes. Make sure you take a test drive there. This family takes turns turning heads, brains, beauty, and athleticism. All they need now for you to do is drive them off the lot. The Mercedes-Benz family of SUVs, a family of unrivaled vehicles waiting at your local dealer. Got our play of the day coming up. We'll settle on a poll question as well. We'll hear from a variety of people, including Patrick Mahomes, Kirk D. Cousins, and Dak Prescott. That'll be coming up. It's USA versus Wales World Cup. And as I mentioned, the Niners against the Cardinals later on tonight. We look at the NFL, and it's a copycat league. I go back to the greatest show on turf when we had the St. Louis Rams. And then everybody thought, oh, let's do five wide. Let's invite the blitz. But not everybody was going to be Kurt Warner or those wide receivers or have a Marshall Faulk in there. But that didn't stop teams from wanting to be the greatest show on turf. Go back to the Tampa 2 defense. Everybody, you know, copied that, took it from the Buccaneers. Bill Walsh, the West Coast offense, people took that and ran with it or passed with it. You had the two tight end situation with the Patriots. You had Gronk, of course, standing out and become a Hall of Famer with Tom Brady. Aaron Hernandez, while he was still there. And I know that you look at a quarterback and you want to have a great tight end like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And you can say, well, this is, let's try to emulate that. Well, first of all, you can't emulate Mahomes, and you can't emulate Travis Kelce. this doesn't strike me as a copycat league. Let's try to be what they are, because those are two first ballot Hall of Famers. And you're looking at Travis Kelce, and it's sometimes you forget how great he is. And as Chris Collinsworth pointed out last night, he's a great receiver. Not just great tight end, he's a great receiver. Once he gets the ball, he's going to score. And he's done that so far this year. Having a career year, and he's 33 right now. I don't know where he ranks, because when we talk about tight ends, the position has changed. I go back to Kellen Winslow as the first real athletic tight end. John Mackey was very athletic. You had Mike Ditka. Todd Christensen was a really good receiving tight end for the Raiders. And then we felt like everybody was getting that 6'4", 6'5". Antonio Gates. You got Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp. There are a lot of really good tight ends who could take advantage of a matchup against a linebacker. And then you had Gronk. And then Gronk was just different. Now, is Gronk the best tight end of all time? I guess we could argue that. He's the guy that I want if I have to score a touchdown and we're in the red zone and I'm going to use my tight end. But, you know, you look at Tony Gonzalez's numbers. I don't think those are going to be touched by any tight end. Travis Kelce's a little bit different, though, because he didn't play his first 2 years, I don't think. And here he is, 33. You start to look at the numbers. He doesn't have 800 catches yet. Has 10,000 yards. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But, boy, does it help when you got Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill's gone, so there's, you know, more attention for Travis Kelce there, and you saw that last night. I don't think there's anybody who thought Patrick Mahomes doesn't have enough time to be able to go down and score and beat the Chargers. As soon as, you know, you look at the time and you go, he's got two timeouts. Yeah, it's over.
That's how I felt.
No, and look, I was rooting for the Chargers because I picked the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl, and I just realized, you know, there are just certain things where in sports you accept it. Yeah, you just go, all right, going to lose. And you go zip, 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 and then it's over. And you go, he makes it look a little too easy there. There's a couple of quarterbacks where you go, come on. No, make him struggle a little bit. And Mahomes is on the sidelines. He's just talking to his teammates like, all right, how much time are they going to give me here? What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? I got to go in and win the game. All right, hold on, I'll be back. That was the feeling that I had. Here is Patrick Mahomes talking about the greatness of Travis Kelce.
He's going to keep fighting until the very end. When you see that, I think it not only is impressive for him, but it gets other guys going. I mean, like I say, he's one of the best, not the best tight end of all time, and he's coming to work every single day to get better. And so that shows you whenever you step in the facility, you're like, man, I got to get to work. If this guy's doing it, I have to be able to at least match that. So that leadership that he brings, as well as the play he brings in the field, is special, and it takes a lot off my shoulders.
Fritz, you've been working on your Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I had a feeling we were going to pull it out. Justin Herbert's really good, but as long as there's a couple of seconds on the clock, we'll take it.
All right. Thank you. You haven't done your Patrick Mahomes impersonation to Patrick Mahomes.
I have not.
But you've done your Shannon Sharp.
Thanks to you, putting me on the spot Super Bowl week a while back. Why don't you do your show? Fritzy does a Shannon Sharp. What do you want to do that for?
I know. And he was in studio with us.
All right, let me hear it. Let me hear how we do it. Right, the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. I think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to win the AFC West for sure.
Not this year.
No.
Not this year. Oh, boy. You know, the Broncos haven't scored 24 points in a game this year.
They've scored 16 like four times.
Yes.
For somebody. That's the magic number for them.
And then you realize everything they gave up to Seattle, including their first-round pick, and not that they're going to use it on a quarterback, but they could leverage that and trade it to somebody, because the Broncos don't look like they're going to get any better anytime soon. Yeah, Paulie?
Seattle has that draft pick. Right now it's the fifth pick of the draft, and they may have their quarterback situation settled. A double whammy.
Yeah.
And they don't owe Geno Smith any real money.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about a long-term contract for Geno Smith, that maybe they are settled on Geno Smith, just like Pete Carroll said. You guys thought we were all idiots. Yeah, Paulie.
You know who else is happy? The Detroit Lions have the Rams pick, And that pick is now the sixth pick of the draft. Who would have thought 2 or 3 months ago that pick would be the sixth pick?
Yeah, but then the Lions end up beating the Giants. Yeah. You know, like, what are you doing? Don't you want a quarterback here?
Yeah, the Lions a month ago had the number two pick of the draft. Now they have the 13th pick with their own draft pick.
There were a couple of betting lines that stood out. And I said this on Friday. When I realized the Cowboys were favored in Minnesota, I thought, I think people are going to see Minnesota's a fraud. They've been blown out twice now. They got blown out at home. And Dallas could have named the score there. That was one of those where you go, okay, which team has the better record? Dallas Cowboys were by far the better team there. Here's Dak Prescott on how it felt to do this in front of the Minnesota fans.
One of the guys says, hey, let's send some fans home early in the second half. And I think that's to your point. Those guys felt that whether they got up and left, they got quiet and just allowed us to play to our tempo and just to play to our standard. And it was great.
Cowboys' 37-point win is the biggest in the NFL this season. Also, the biggest road win in Cowboys franchise history.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
All right, best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Operator Tyler standing by. Seton got a poll question for the troops today.
Yeah, Dan, we have a who was the biggest winner this weekend?
Biggest winner?
Yeah, who was the biggest winner this weekend? Right. The Raiders. That felt like a big win for them. With a handful of fellas right there who really felt like they needed a big win. Josh McDaniels needed a big win. Davante Adams, he needed a win.
Yeah.
Derek Carr needed a win, man. That fella needed a pat on the back and like a, hey, look at us coming together, right? Yeah.
Come on. Keep your head up. Let's go. Come on.
The Texans, big winners this weekend because that's a team who gets the program. The more they lose, the more we win. Davis Mills right out of the gate. Boom. Pick six. Let's get it going.
I know.
All right.
You can lose in the NFL and still win.
Yeah. You can lose in the NFL and still win because they did it this weekend.
Yeah, Paul.
The Texans are 1-8-1. That they messed up with that tie that opens the door. But they're a game and a half ahead of Carolina for the number one pick of the draft. So they're in good position. They also have Cleveland's draft pick. And who thought Cleveland would have, be 3-7 at this point? They might get a little better. But right now, Houston has two of the top seven picks of the draft.
Yeah, and I wonder, because normally we look at that one quarterback and we go, hey, that's the guy you want. I don't know what you have in this draft. It feels like you have some potential starters here. But I don't know. Like, I'm watching Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson doesn't look like he can play. And I think when the draft happened, I thought that's the one guy who could be the bust. It might be Trey Lance. Who knows? But I thought Zach Wilson, I don't even think he was scheduled to start his final year at BYU. And I always worry about those one-year wonders. And he may turn out to be a really good quarterback. But he was asked yesterday about, here's the question asked to Zach Wilson after the loss to the Patriots.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No. Thank you.
Ooh. You know, if I was asked the question, I would probably not be as definitive in saying, no, we didn't let him down. Maybe make it a little nicer.
He's like, nah, screw those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them down.
Yeah. How about the times when we score points and they give up a lot of points?
Hey, they gave up three.
Yeah.
They could have given up zero.
Yeah. They gave up zero, then we could have won. We scored three. Yeah, I would have had a little better response there, Buckaroo. You got to take some blame because you did not look like an NFL quarterback there.
This has actually been a great preview of next hour's poll question. Biggest loser this weekend.
Biggest loser.
Zach Wilson may or may not be on that list.
Mm.
Another big winner this weekend, though, Dan, USC football. That's a good win.
Great win.
They're right there where they're fifth right now.
Yeah, okay. Right on the doorstep.
Yeah, got Notre Dame coming up.
Yeah.
That could be another big win.
The standalone game for my Heisman Trophy winner, the Pac-12 title game, Tennessee loses. That was a great game, though. That, I didn't want to see UCLA lose. Or at least lose that way because, that quarterback, you know, Dorian's a great quarterback, but Caleb Williams did what he needed to do, you know, whether it was with his legs or with his arm. And USC can't play defense, but boy, they can play offense. And I think these standalone games are going to be really interesting to see if he can slip in there and win the Heisman. Because I watched Maryland and Ohio State, and C.J. Stroud is the prohibitive favorite. He's got to have a great game against Michigan. And he hasn't had a good month here. He, you know, I got to see something. Now, big game, and let's see you do it. You should do it. And Blake Corum, the Michigan running back, got hurt. Hendon Hooker, he's out for Tennessee, done for the year. Boy, that was one of those where I'm watching. I go, I'll be damned. Spencer Rattler still in college? Like, that was my reaction was, oh, wow. Remember when he was a preseason Heisman Trophy pick when he was a freshman? And I thought, wow, okay. And then you watched him, and then it just felt like he regressed and then lost his job at Oklahoma and then transferred. Yeah, Mark.
Is this one of those games where NFL scouts are just salivating, like this is what he could be?
Well, I if I'm a scout, I would go, let me look at all the other games here. That one was great.
We're all out of tape. We just have tape for the Tennessee game.
Because I had a couple of games when I played where I was like, yeah, okay. And then you saw the other ones and go, nope, not worth it. Yeah, Paulie.
That Tennessee weekend, though, you're out of the playoff picture. You got beat up on national TV. Your quarterback, who's had nothing but good praise nationwide, he may not get invited to the Heisman ceremony. That's terrible.
Yeah, it was. And if you said, hey, this is the final score, I'd be like, wow, Tennessee ran up, you know, put 60 on. I didn't see that one happening. But there were a few of those games. It's like Detroit was a slight underdog against the Giants. And I kept thinking, all right, something's going on here. Cowboys are favored against the Vikings. Something's going on here. And then it turns out the Lions were the better team. And I don't know if the Giants are a good team, really good team. And then you start to wonder, Cowboys, Giants, Thanksgiving. And I guess Odell Beckham is supposed to be waiting until that after that game to make his pick of who he wants to play for. I don't know if it's winner take all, but it feels like that. Yeah, Paul.
If I'm Odell, right after Thanksgiving dinner, I put three hats on a table and get on national, get a YouTube channel or be on national TV and put the hat on.
Yeah, just make it seem, well, he's been recruited.
Yeah.
Feels like that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll settle on a poll question. We'll get to your phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Just getting started on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, man, I love this new partner, Legacy Box. Simple, safe way to digitize your videotapes, film reels, photos. And we all have that box or boxes of, you know, stuff, you know, these great pictures or videotapes, and you want to transfer them over. Well, now you can, because you don't want them to, you know, be a victim of a flood or mold or decay over time. Legacy Box is what Better Homes and Gardens called the most sentimental gift to make this holiday season special. And Black Friday event that starts right now. More families can enjoy digitizing home movies and photos. 65% off this. We love what Legacy Box has done. And you know me, I collect everything and get it transferred over. And then they send it to you and you're like, why didn't I think of this before? Best deal of the year. Visit legacybox.com/Patrick. Get 65% off for Black Friday. Limited quantities, ready to ship. The deal will go fast. It's legacybox.com/Patrick. Legacybox.com/Patrick.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Our good buddy Ross Tucker was on the call for Westwood One last night, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He joins us on the program. Ross, thanks for joining us. I know you're short on sleep, having taken the red eye last night from Los Angeles. How would you sum up the final 2 minutes of that game last night?
Like a movie, Dan, that I've seen so many times before. I don't know if it's the sequel or the trilogy or what you start to call them after that, but it's really unbelievable, Dan, because from both sides, right? After landing like 40 minutes ago, and it's unbelievable how often Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce do that. I mean, I don't know what the live betting odds were that they would score a touchdown on that drive. But everybody, and I think, and I mean everybody, knew that was going to happen. And I think what's really interesting to me about it is walking out of that stadium last night, Dan, and seeing the Chargers fans just had this look on their faces. Like, they're like a beaten down bunch in the sense that they knew it was coming, but every time they get their hope up just a little bit, Herbert throws the deep ball to Keenan Allen, and then they throw the touchdown. Every time the Chargers get their hopes up against the Chiefs, and then Patrick Mahomes steals their heart.
Yeah, I wonder what those odds were in the for the Chiefs scoring a touchdown, because I certainly would have piled on the Chiefs. It was a question of how they were going to score a touchdown, not if. And you start to look at, is the MVP been right in front of us here for the last month or so? We just refuse to acknowledge that?
Well, I think Patrick Mahomes is the clear front runner right now, and I think you're probably right. Now, a lot of people were starting to say, you know, they were saying Josh Allen for a while till he had those two games with the red zone interceptions. Jalen Hurts has had an awfully, awfully good year. But when you look at the stats for Mahomes, I mean, he's leading quarterbacks, Dan, in pretty much every category. And what's so impressive to me about it is, all they did this offseason was trade away the best receiver in the NFL, arguably. I mean that's the part that's so impressive. Talking with some Chiefs folks, coaches before the game, they said, you know, when they had Tyreek and Kelce, teams would double both of those guys. And at times they'd have to go elsewhere. And the other guys they would go to weren't always able to step up and get the job done. Whereas this year, they don't have Tyreek. But obviously, Kelce's been masterful. But then all the other guys, right, the Juju Smith-Schusters, Hardman, Sky Moore, all those guys have stepped up in their own way and made plays when they've been called upon. And it's almost like Mahomes has matured in his progression as a quarterback and doing a better job of just spreading the ball around to wherever the ball is supposed to go, unless he absolutely has to have it there. And then it's Travis Kelce, which, by the way, I know Derwin James is an awesome player. It's totally rare what Derwin James can do, Dan. But I thought that was a major coaching error on Brandon Staley. On that drive, the entire drive, to put Derwin James man-to-man on Travis Kelce, that is asking a lot. And I can tell you, having been like in New England, Dan, there's no way Bill Belichick would have let Travis Kelce do that on that drive. There's no way. They would have doubled him. Somebody else would have had to beat him. Maybe Brandon Staley just has that much faith in Derwin James, but I thought they did not put James in a position to succeed. You cannot be covering Travis Kelce man-to-man in that situation.
Go back to what we were talking about with MVP with Mahomes. It feels like he's, you know, default MVP because we know we can trust him that he's going to be great. And the Chiefs might be the favorites because it feels like we know who they are and what they are. Week to week, it feels like, wow, where did that come from? Or that team's a lot better or a lot worse than I thought. It feels like the Chiefs right now are the best team in football.
Well, they're certainly one of them. I mean, obviously the Eagles are still 9-1. You know what I said last night, Dan, after the game that I was thinking about? We all feel the same way about Mahomes and the Chiefs, right? It's actually kind of wild that he's only won one Super Bowl, isn't it? Because in our head, we feel like he's been like an MVP caliber guy for 6 years now. And they go to the AFC Championship game every year. And we think he always gets it done. And we have all these memories against the Bills in the playoff game last year, whatever. But the reality is he's gotten the two Super Bowls and he's won one, which I don't know what the point is I'm making other than maybe what Brady's done is ridiculous. But it just goes to show, I guess, how hard it really is, because it's hard for Mahomes to have played much better than he has so far in his career. And yet he only has won one of them.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, CBS Westwood One color analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He was on the call Chargers Chiefs last night. I'm going to play this question and answer, Zach Wilson of the Jets, and how you think this answer will go over in the locker room with the Jets.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
Thank you.
How do you think that's going to go over that no, you didn't let the defense down?
Not very well. You know, I saw that video, Dan, and I heard the audio earlier. That, to me, comes across as like insecurity, right? Like if you're comfortable with who you are as a player and you're confident, then when you mess up, you own it, right? Like the smartest people I know admit the things they don't know. The most successful people, like if you screwed up on the show, Dan, you'd be like, oh, that's on me, fellas, because you know you're damn tricking. You're really good at it, but every once in a while, maybe you screw up. I think Zach Wilson is not confident. He doesn't feel good about who he is or where his standing is on the team. So it comes across as an insecure response or a defensive response. Whereas if he was a more established player, he'd be like, heck yeah, I feel bad. I think he knows what people are saying about him. And I think as a result, he doesn't want to flame the fire, right? Feed the fire by saying, yes, I do feel like I let those guys down. I do feel like the offense did. It's like he's got his burrs up and he's ready to defend himself and be defiant. And sometimes maybe that's why guys become good players, is because they have that defiance. But no, that's not going to go over real well. I mean, imagine being a defensive player in that locker room. You gave up 3 points the whole game, and you still lost. Those guys must be furious. And I've said it for a couple of weeks. I feel like Robert Saleh has a decision to make at some point, because at some point it's a culture thing, and you need the players on the team to trust you and to trust that you're making the decisions to try to help them go to the playoffs and win these games. And it's starting to become painfully obvious that Zach Wilson does not give them the best chance to win these games.
You have the Giants and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. What do you expect considering what just happened yesterday with these two teams?
Well, first of all, I think it's amazing that Odell Beckham Jr. is reportedly picking between these two teams. He should go to the game. I heard what Paulie said earlier. He should go to the game. It should be like, you don't get the turkey leg if you win. You get the Odell. You know, you get the Odell Beckham Jr. I've never seen – the guy is a marketing genius. I've never seen a guy get this much attention who tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. My prediction there, Dan, will be that this will be the most ineffectual signing in years. The guy had a torn ACL in the Super Bowl. We've been talking about this for months. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Cowboys even have their own marketing strategy of just keep talking about it, keep talking about it, and show him the power of the brand of the Cowboys. I mean, it's. I hope he plays well at this point because we've been talking about it so much. You know, that's kind of the beauty of the NFL. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Giants beat the Cowboys on Thursday. The Cowboys just looked like the best team. They just murdered the Vikings. The Giants looked awful. They got run over by the Lions. They couldn't do anything. But none of that really matters when they go inside the White Lions on Thursday. Now, do I think that'll happen? No. I think the Cowboys will probably win the game. I think they're the better team. I think they're more talented. But that's kind of the beauty of it, is that there is no carryover, right? Like, yeah. I saw where the Cowboys now, Dan, have the second best Super Bowl odds. It's Kansas City and then the Cowboys. So the three lost Cowboys, on the strength of that performance yesterday, jumped over other teams like the Vikings, like the Eagles, in terms of the Super Bowl. But nobody cares how good you looked on November 20th in January. It doesn't really matter, other than, I guess, giving those guys some confidence of just how high their ceiling is.
Great to talk to you. Safe travels home there, and have fun on Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Ross Tucker, CBS Westwood One color analyst, host of Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And you can follow him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports lead college football analyst, was on the call at the Rose Bowl. USC, the win. And Michigan and Ohio State will be his next game. And he also started a new football podcast called the Joel Klatt Show. Joel joins us on the program. Joel, the best win this weekend was turned in by who?
Oh, I think it was USC. I know that there were some upsets, right? So South Carolina, obviously, that's a great win over Tennessee. But when you think about USC needing something bigger on their resume, they had beaten Oregon State. People were wondering whether they could, you know, figure this out with maybe a defense that wasn't a great defense. I think that that stage for Caleb Williams, the win for Lincoln Riley, and then to set themselves up for a path towards the playoff and maybe even controlling their own destiny to the playoff, I thought that was the biggest win of the weekend. You know, obviously, I was rooting for Michigan and Ohio State, pacing around my room. I was like, come on, boys, we got to let's get to 11-0. But I think the biggest one was USC.
The worst win of the weekend was turned in by who?
Alabama, 34-0 over Austin Peay. You know, and listen, I've been critical of this, and it's not an SEC thing, and it's not even necessarily a knock at Alabama. It's more about the structure of the sport that we have allowed the sport to be controlled by so many different people in terms of schedule making, schedule complex, that we have these cupcake games in November. Now, listen, I understand that these games are going to take place. I would just rather them take place in September. And the reason is, Dan, as you know, like once you start getting into the grind of a season, it just is difficult. You know, health becomes a factor. All these teams that struggled or lost to teams that maybe they shouldn't were struggling with their health, you know, whether it's the running back room at Ohio State or Michigan now with Blake Corum. TCU was banged up. Tennessee obviously gets Hendon knocked up in that game. Hendon Hooker, which I felt awful about. It's difficult. And also, these are 18 to 22-year-olds, and you're trying to get them to play at their best week in and week out. That's just a difficult standard to get these guys to try to uphold every single week. And then the last thing about it, I think, is that in a sport in which we still rate, review, and reward championships based on subjective review, I think that winning against Austin Peay 34-0 in November is brushed off as just like, okay, that's fine. If that was week one, we'd be like, what's wrong with Alabama? Right. So you can rest. You don't have to win great. And you get to play that game or even, you know, UAB for LSU, any of these type of like cupcake games. So that's a long winded answer to a simple question.
When does tampering start? When do you get the you know, these coaches or intermediaries to reach out to somebody to say, hey, we're going to need a quarterback at Tennessee next year, or you know how this goes. When does that start?
It's an interesting way you phrased it, because in my mind, the first thing that I think of is for it to start, that means that it stops at some point. You know, right?
Well, so, well, there's not a portal window that you go from this to this, because it feels like things have to lead up to the transfer portal.
Yes. And so the portal, there are some more guidelines now, right? Like this year, it's a little different. You can't just enter the portal at any point. And so December 4th, I believe, is the date, or 5th, maybe it is, where the portal opens. And so there's this thought that it's like, well, there's going to be no tampering until the portal is open, and then it's legal, because then you can contact and recruit these kids. I think if we believe that, then we all should be, you know, buying up the oceanfront property outside of Flagstaff, right? Because then we're all gullible. Tampering is happening. Inducements are happening. And I think that it is the worst unintended consequence of what were well-intended new changes to the rules. I think that the transfer rule is well-intended. It's been obviously, you know, misused at times. NIL. I've been arguing for NIL for a long time, since I was a player. By the way, I played with Jeremy Bloom at Colorado, you know, so I had played minor league baseball. I could go back and I was fine. I was eligible, but he couldn't be a skier, which was, you know, it was crazy. So I've been arguing for NIL for a long time. But Dan, when you mix all of this together, then you've got what the landscape that we currently have, where there's a lot of tampering, there's inducements, there's all these things, and there's rules on the books that are supposed to curtail this type of behavior. Let me just pose a question back. I would say, isn't it more about enforcement, right? And the governing bodies actually going out and enforcing the rules that are existing. And I think that that's an important piece of what college football should be moving forward. And it can't be in retrospect. Hey, 2 years ago, you had, you know, X, Y, and Z violation. I'm talking about in real time. Do you know why the NFL is the NFL? And some people love this about it. Some people hate it. They have real-time enforcement. You don't wear your socks high enough, bam, it comes out of your game check. And I believe that the coaches in college football are now making enough money, right, that we should be fining coaches. It's not about vacating wins or doing something like a show cause. You tamper with a player, it's $1 million right now. And now I'll show you a bunch of coaches that will govern themselves. And so I think that if we just shift the way we talk about enforcement of the existing rules, I think that we could get some of this stuff under wraps.
He's Joe Klatt. He'll be on the call for Michigan and Ohio State. And he started a new podcast. It's called the Joel Klatt Show. Let's look at the scenarios. Let's say Ohio State would lose to Michigan. Close game. Ohio State still a top four team after that.
I think that they would be. I think at that point that the two biggest issues that Ohio State would have, or I would actually say pluses for them, is that Notre Dame is on this great late season run. Penn State, after the two losses to Michigan and Ohio State, has been terrific. So all of a sudden, their resume looks really good.
Okay.
And with Tennessee losing, I think that they would still be a top four team if Ohio State were to lose. I think Michigan's a different discussion.
If Michigan loses close game,
I think it's going to be tough. I think that you're going to have to. I think Michigan would need some help. I think that they would. Dan, they would probably need USC to lose at some point, and they would need TCU to lose. And it would help them if TCU lost actually in the championship game. So rather than, like, let's say TCU lost this week but still won the Big 12, that would, because the committee is supposed to honor conference championships. So they would need, I think, a loss from USC or TCU in their conference championship game. And then you can start to make an argument, and then that argument becomes more focused towards Clemson and less the other two. And I think that's an argument that you could look favorably on the Wolverines. There is a scenario and a path, and particularly in the close game you're talking about, where 10 were to get potentially two teams this year.
Where is Deion Sanders coaching next year?
That's a great question. I've heard a lot of rumors about a lot of different places. I know Deion is happy where he's at. He's obviously built something very special. They're going to play for their conference championship game. I think if I had to bet, I would say he stays where he's at, Dan, if I had to put money down. And I thought, I had said earlier in the year that I thought it was going to be Auburn. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. It won't. Listen, it won't surprise me at all if he takes a job or someone makes a run at him here late. But I do know those close to him have said he is laser focused on the season that he's having, and in particular this championship run that he's going to be having that'll finish on December 3rd.
Yeah, I wonder, you don't take a job to take a job. You take the right job for you, and he seems very calculated. If I am leaving, I want to make sure that I'm successful, not go into Nebraska where, you know, that might take a while. Auburn, you know, jumping into the SEC. You know, I know that previous year that he interviewed for a few jobs and didn't get those, and then didn't even get his alma mater, Florida State. So I'm guessing that if he stays, it's because he doesn't see the correct, right opportunity for him now, but that doesn't mean he's going to stay at Jackson State, you know, for a long period of time.
Yeah, and it doesn't it seem like, and Saturday night I was I was explaining the Spider-Man meme to Gus. I don't know if you caught that. And he was like, well, what does that mean? And I was like, I don't even know. It's just a bunch of Spider-Mans pointing at each other. Like, but it does feel a little bit like that amongst Power Five schools right now. Like, everyone's just staring at each other, thinking to themselves, who's going to do it? You know, who's going to pull the trigger? He's going to be a Power Five coach at some point. I firmly believe that. And he's proved his acumen as a head coach. This is not a novelty bit. You know, Deion's a really good coach. That team is a very good team. He's an excellent recruiter. He's a great leader. You know, you talk to people around Jackson State, and the things that he does away from the cameras are really good and strong and have a foundation. So he's going to be a head coach. I firmly believe that. And I also think it's interesting the way that he views the coming landscape of an expanded playoff. I've been talking with a lot of people within the sport, and they've been talking about, you know, I think that jobs even outside of the Big Ten and SEC, while they might not have the revenue share that the Big Ten and SEC has, there could be an easier path to the playoff as it expands. So I think that the way that we view jobs might be a little behind right now. And as it relates to, I think that'll be an interesting piece to this of what he views the coming landscape of the sport to be and where he thinks he can have top end success.
Jimbo Fisher safe?
That's a great question. Listen, if I'm signing checks, yes, because that's not, that's not a check I'm willing to sign. I don't know. I got to be honest. Like, I would have said all year, Dan, that like, yeah, they're not going to do that. They can't do that. But it's gotten to a level now where the toxicity within the program is, you know, is so bad now. Is it so bad that it's $85 million? I'm not sure. And Jimbo's got all the leverage there. I will say this about Jimbo. He just hasn't adjusted. Think about the great coaches, even in the last decade. They've adjusted at some point in their career, right? Like Nick Saban is winning a very different style and using a different offense, and he's adjusted from what he was when he first got to Alabama. Ed Orgeron did that with Joe Brady and brought in Joe Burrow. Bob Stoops did that when he hired Lincoln Riley. Urban Meyer did that when he brought in Ryan Day. Mike Bellotti did that back at Oregon when he brought in Chip Kelly. We see this time and time again where guys adjust, and we haven't seen that from Jimbo Fisher. That's what he needs to do. His staff is going to need to change drastically. And then this is also a case study, Dan, and like, is it good for your team, your locker room, to just go out there and do what we all suspect happened at Texas A&M? Yes, you get a number one recruiting class, but did they come for the promises or did they come for the place? And that's a question now. You've got a lot of coaches that are sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, do I really want to commit NIL dollars to guys that have never been in my locker room yet? Because the case study at Texas A&M is pretty stark in terms of it didn't work this year.
If a player leaves, do I still have to pay him? How does NIL work? Is it a year-to-year contract like a scholarship is?
Well, there is no rhyme or reason. There's no singular, you know, stock form. We're not pulling this out of the shelf and saying like, hey, here's the NIL thing like it used to be with a scholarship, right? A letter of intent. So every one of these is different. I've seen NILs that are very straightforward. If you're here, if you're eligible, you know, this is what the NIL contract states. I've seen them come from companies and I've seen them facilitated through the university. I've also seen third-party agents get involved and start promising kids things that are outside of the school or outside of any entity that's paying money, saying like, hey, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to go get these deals. And then in the fine print, I've seen this, and this is where it's very sad. These players are signing away future earnings. You and I both know that that happens in the NFL going towards the draft, but now it's starting to happen in college football. I don't think that that's great for these athletes or their families. So to answer your question, like there's no one way that this is being done, which is why people are so eager to try to get, let's say, federal legislation to try to put some sort of guardrails around what we're doing right now in name, image, and likeness.
I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I liked Caleb Williams for the Heisman because I saw how this was going to play out, or at least I thought it was. He was going to be playing ranked teams. You got UCLA, then you have Notre Dame, you have the Pac-12 title game. Those are all standalone games.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud was going to have the Michigan game. The Iowa game and the Big Ten title game is probably not going to mean as much. But Caleb Williams has games that are Notre Dame is big, the Pac-12 title game, and then what happened against UCLA. We're running out of Heisman candidates here, Joel.
Yeah.
I mean, we got C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams, and, I mean, Blake Corum got injured. So I don't know. Hooker got injured. I don't know. Are we going to have four guys go to New York here? How do you see this?
I'm not sure. Yeah. And by the way, Drake May, who had some late run, you know, they lose and he doesn't throw a touchdown and throws a pick in that game. I think Max Duggan is maybe kind of in there and has a shot to get to New York because of how he played against Baylor last week. But you're exactly right. I've always said that we always argue about, like, is it most valuable player? Is it most outstanding? Should it be a guy that's on a worse team? Listen, the reality of the Heisman is it kind of fits in three categories. You got to be a great player on a great team, and then you have to have what you're talking about, which is those moments on the stages necessary late in the season to get everybody's attention. And this is one of the reasons why Derrick Henry wins the Heisman over Christian McCaffrey, right? McCaffrey didn't really have those moments and stages late in the season like Derrick Henry did when he was going off in November in that great year. So to your point, if you look at the betting markets, CJ Stroud is right there as the favorite, as the Heisman favorite. And then before last week, Caleb Williams was fifth. Now he's second, and a pretty clear second. And it's really just those two. And so you're looking at a situation where I believe that the next 60 minutes of football for each of these players is going to determine the Heisman Trophy. So you've got Stroud against Michigan in what will be an epic game with, at least we're hoping, close to 20 million people watching these two undefeateds. And you've got the Notre Dame SC rivalry with Caleb Williams. There's not a doubt in my mind that Caleb is more valuable to his team than maybe even CJ Stroud. And that's not a knock against Stroud. It's just kind of an ode to what the roster is for USC. After last week, I can tell you right now that Caleb Williams is transforming to this incredible talent, to a guy that reminds me a lot of a little like a Mahomes-esque quality. When he breaks contain, he's such a threat throwing the ball on the run. He's such a threat keeping his eyes downfield, willing to make any throw, and then does it with accuracy. He's going to be hard to beat, I think, even for CJ Stroud. If he goes out there and they beat Notre Dame and he throws for like 350 or 400 yards. And this is a Notre Dame defense, by the way, pass defense, that is not bad. 8 interceptions and only 5 touchdowns given up in the last 4 games, and haven't had a 300-yard passer. Oh, actually, only one this year, and it was Drake May from North Carolina.
I'll leave you with this thought on Drake May in the final 30 seconds. Open market. If he was on the open market right now, just like Caleb Williams was, what is Drake May worth?
Oh, for 1 year?
Yeah, you can bring him in. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. You might get him for 2.
10, 15, right? I mean, like, because if it works,
a year,
then it's worth every penny. But yeah. I mean, think about what a playoff run means to a team, to that conference in terms of revenue share.
But let's say Tennessee, they just lost Hooker. I don't know what their backup situation is. But if Drake May wanted to go to Tennessee, open market, pay him $10 million a year?
I mean, we saw it. So Tennessee reportedly offered, now it was over 4 years, but it was somewhere between $8 and $9 million to a kid coming out of high school that's going to sign and go there. So if you're telling me I can get a known commodity like Drake May, I think that would be worth close to 10. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying that I don't like their backups, but if I'm Drake May, and I hate throwing this out there, but real quick, Dan, if I'm one of those great quarterbacks, Drake May, I'm looking at Marvin Harrison and being like, oh, wait, he doesn't have a starter coming back? Because that dude, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's one of the best players I've ever covered in college football.
Drake May to Ohio State. $10 million.
Hey, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Have fun this weekend. And
thank you.
Tell Gus we said hello. Thank you, bud.
I will. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
That's Joel Klatt, Fox college football analyst, their lead analyst who has Michigan and Ohio State.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.